This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Les Burnell with us on the program. Les is Executive Director of the Stop Predatory Gambling Foundation. He speaks and writes extensively about failed government policies that rely on predatory gambling. He has appeared on national television and radio, including 60 Minutes, CNN, Fox News Channel, and National Public Radio. He has also spoken before dozens of college audiences and faith groups across the nation. Les is with us today to talk about a new report from Stop Predatory Gambling entitled Use Promo Code Inequality Inside Online Fantasy Sports Gambling and the Misleading Unfounded Lobbying Push for Government Regulation. Les, thanks so much for being with us today on Family Policy Matters.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, it's always great to have you on the program, and we're just so appreciative of the great work that you do at Stop Predatory Gambling. Now, Les, many of our listeners have probably heard of fantasy football, baseball, or other similar fantasy sports leagues, but many may not be as familiar with daily fantasy sports. Explain, if you would, the differences between season-long fantasy sports games, which some of our listeners may have participated in years past, and the daily fantasy sports that we have seen increase so rapidly in recent months.
Season-long fantasy sports, you know, started as a hobby. It was a form of community. You know, it was a social activity. The trophy mattered more than the money. Right? So today, what you've seen with the introduction of these so-called daily fantasy sports operators is that fantasy sports has become a fleecing operation. And it clearly incorporates the three major aspects of gambling, which is consideration, chance, and prize. Consideration means you put up something of value, put up money. And so there's no debate whether or not this is gambling. The national casino operators like MGM, the CEO openly says, and I run a casino. There's no question this is gambling. You know, you have many of the people that founded these DFS companies, these daily fantasy sports companies, came over from the online poker an internet gambling world after it was shut down in 2011. So they just saw a chance to find a loophole in the federal law, and try to bring in extreme forms and another form of extreme gambling and cloak it in something else by calling it fantasy sports and making it sound innocuous and advertising it on television, and virtually have young, you know, you have kids playing this stuff now. So it's been a huge public ripoff, and you're starting to see, you know, significant public leaders like the New York Attorney General has put an injunction in to shut down the FanDuel and DraftKings, which are the two biggest players. It's something that, you know, on the surface, people are like, how does this impact me? It impacts you in a major way because it's you know, encouraging a major gambling ethic in our families and our communities, where, you know, people are being cheated and exploited and especially with kids. I mean, kids are very susceptible to this stuff.
Well, I think it seems to be one of these things that has become so insidious because there was an existing interest in these fantasy leagues that people may build a team at the beginning of the league and do a kind of drafting of the players and to make up their teams and that sort of thing and follow their teams throughout the season. But this is full-blown gambling because it really is something that happens on a rapid-fire basis. It involves the components that you talk about that really are the classic definition of commercial gambling, where the elements of chance far outweigh the potential elements of skill. Would you consider that to be the truth?
Without question. And they know it. I mean, the reason why, you know, they talk about this in such a dishonest way is because the business itself is dishonest, right? When a practice is dishonest, the people who promote it and sponsor it talk about it dishonestly. And we've seen that with state lotteries, and now we see that with this new form of gambling, framing as fantasy sports gambling, but it's really a form of internet gambling. Listeners need to understand, this is just really a bridge. You know, this whole push for so-called daily fantasy sports is they want to bring in internet gambling into every dorm room, every bedroom, every community in the country, and they're going to do it through the back door because they can't get internet gambling legalized through Congress. And so what they're trying to do is bring in internet gambling without calling it internet gambling, because the real money in this business is not on this daily fantasy sports stuff. It's getting people to bet on more extreme forms of gambling. And that's, and they want to do that through the internet. So that's why your listeners need to realize this is not a debate about fantasy sports, is a debate about internet gambling.
Well, it's kind of the proverbial camel's nose under the tent. I know that you note in the report that there really is a huge profit margin behind daily fantasy sports gambling. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Sure. These daily online fantasy sports gambling operators, they don't care who wins or loses. Where they make their money is they get 10 to 15% of all the money wagered. All right, so they have these huge sweepstakes pools, you know, where they'll say, oh, you can win $1 million and you just got to put up your entry, you know, they call them entry fees, where it's really a wager, right? So you're putting in your wager. What they get is 10 to 15% right off the top of all the money wagered. And so what you have is a business model where you have a, roughly 1% of these players do this full time. They spend literally 12 to 14 hours a day crafting, you know, sophisticated algorithms and so forth, you know, to calculate the best, you know, players to select to for their these respective teams, and they buy hundreds and hundreds of lineups in these games. So they really have stacked the odds in their favor. So this 1% is winning all this money, and that roughly, you know, 90 to 95% of these players are losing their money. And DraftKings and FanDuel, they could care less about that scenario. They care about just getting a cut of the total amount wagered. And that's what's so, again, it's so dishonest about this, and that's why it's illegal in other states, why state attorney generals are taking action now to shut them down.
Let's talk a little bit more. I know that you mentioned this earlier, but for the benefit of our listeners, talk a little bit more about the groups behind daily fantasy sports gamblings and why this is it's important for us to really understand it, because these are entities, these are folks who have a history of really targeting vulnerable populations through legal and sometimes illegal gambling operations.
What your listeners need to fully understand is these online fantasy sports gambling operators, they're not the result of some citizen's grassroots movement demanding internet gambling on their smartphones and in their bedrooms. You know, this is being driven by very powerful financial interests, particularly some of the big media companies in our country, like Comcast, which owns NBC, Time Warner, Google Capital, which is the investment arm of Google. Like, these media companies are behind this. And they make money on the advertising. And, you know, a lot of the operators for this, the people actually running these companies, came from the illegal online poker companies that were shut down in 2011 by the Department of Justice. So these aren't like, you know, this isn't being driven by citizens demanding a chance to have sports, you know, online gambling in their homes. It's a huge ripoff. And that's why you know, every citizen, whether you gamble or not, like, this impacts you. And, you know, we need to continue have our legislative leaders and our law enforcement to take action to shut these scam artists down.
Why is this such a great concern for the young and adolescent population? Why are they particularly vulnerable to the lure of this type of gambling?
Well, kids, you know, kids are very unassuming, so they don't sometimes recognize when they're being exploited or when they're, you know, when something is not, you know, on the up and up here. So you have kids who started into the season-long fantasy sports thinking it was, you know, doing something with their family or their friends at school where they would pick their favorite players. And now they're being marketed these online internet gambling games which is in the form of daily fantasy sports, which is essentially preying on a whole generation of kids that have been grown up on video games, right? They play video games constantly. It's being marketed to them as just something where you can just pick your favorite athletes, right? Like, so you combine some of this culture of where they're addicted to video games, the kids very passionate about sports, and then just the excitement of winning money. Like, I don't care what age you are, anytime you win something, you get something for, you know, for free. It gets an excitement in people that can also be addicting. And so these kids get really attracted to it. And the idea that we've allowed them to be broadcast on national television for the last 8 weeks throughout the NFL season. I mean, they've been broadcasting over the last year or so, but not with the kind of intensity that we've seen until the last eight weeks or so. It's appalling, and it's unethical. And, you know, again, it's time for thoughtful citizens out there who care about the direction of their state and their communities to call for a shutdown of these operators.
Does this activity currently violate federal law, and if so, how?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that it violates federal law, and that's why I think we're seeing the New York U.S. Attorney is doing an investigation of this thus far, and I think you'll see him ultimately shut down, at least in New York and other places. You'll see some major reform that'll come out of this after his investigation is done, because there's no debate whether or not it's violating federal law. When the internet gambling prohibition passed in 2006, they keep claiming that there was this carve out for fantasy sports. No one could have comprehended what we see today. What they're calling fantasy sports is not what the folks that did a carve out for it in 2006. It didn't mean they allowed it. You know, it was just saying that fantasy sports will be exempt from these, you know, from the so-called internet gambling ban. And that was when, you know, the so-called season-long games were what people had in mind back in 2006. But federal law is pretty clear on this, both from the 2006 law as well as the law back in 1992. There was a law prohibiting sports gambling, and it made clear that you're not allowed to wager on player performance. Hmm. So the reason why you haven't seen other U.S. attorneys jump in yet is because this is really a brand new phenomenon, right? You're seeing, but both in New York State, you're seeing the U.S. attorney there take action. In Florida, the U.S. attorney there is doing a grand jury investigation. So you're starting to see federal action now from various U.S. attorneys. But there's just very little comprehension of what this was all about, because it came out of nowhere, and it's marketed as something that it's not.
Well, and it certainly mushroomed into something, as you've talked about, over the last several months, that was completely unexpected, but certainly not unplanned from the folks who are behind it. Now, Les, as daily fantasy sports gambling becomes more popular, some have argued, and we've seen this with sweepstakes gambling and other gambling activities here in North Carolina, that the answer for some is to regulate it and tax it, or to allow the government to sponsor it and derive revenue from it. Why is government regulation or the legalization of online gambling, which it would inevitably do, why is that such a bad idea?
Your listeners in North Carolina are as well versed in so-called regulated gambling, I think, as any state in the country, right? You have a North Carolina lottery there. You have a casino out there in Western Carolina with the so-called Cherokee Casino, which is operated by Caesars. You know, you were promised all these things that government gambling was supposed to do, right? It was going to help fund education and do all these good things for the people of North Carolina. There hasn't been a bigger public policy failure in North Carolina over the last 25 years, I respectfully suggest to you, than its experiment with state lotteries, okay? It's led to higher inequality of opportunity in North Carolina, as well as many other states, but you know, it hasn't encouraged, you know, this idea that's paying for education. It's been a gimmick. It's been a budget gimmick, mm-hmm. Where it hasn't produced more money for education, and it's extracted millions and millions of dollars from average North Carolina citizens and putting them into deeper debt. You know, and so some of your listeners may be saying, well, you know, I don't like the lottery, but it seems here to stay. I know it extracts the poor. You know, why should I really care? Well, for all your listeners who don't play the lottery at all, which is good for them, they shouldn't. They should know that they pay even if they don't play. And by that, I mean you're paying higher taxes in North Carolina for less services as a result of the North Carolina lottery. Independent facts around government revenues from gambling are very clear that over the long term, budget problems get worse as a result of government gambling.
Well, no doubt. Les, unfortunately, we are nearly out of time for this week, but I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to get a copy of this new report on the harms of daily fantasy sports betting, again entitled Use Promo Code Inequality. Tell us where they can get that.
Sure. At our website, on our homepage. Our website is stoppredatorygambling.org.
Great. Well, thank you, Les. Again, that website is www.stoppredatorygambling.org. And with that, Les Burnell, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters, for the great work that you're doing at Stop Predatory Gambling. We appreciate the partnership to work with you on these issues and are just so grateful for you.
Thank you. And thanks for the work you guys do. Really appreciate it.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800. or visit our website at ncfamily.org.